It wasn't restricted to the initial few. The morph is everywhere and getting stronger by the day. In the end, everyone will see it and benefit from it. It has to be that way, otherwise there would be no point to it. The goddess is making herself felt for everyone's benefit. It's not for one church or one group or one social unit. She's not an elitist. She is the queen of heaven. She is for everyone. It's hard to see the morph in bright light unless the morph is very strong that day. It's best to look at it in more subdued lighting. Go into a room and have only a small crack of light penetrate, so it's almost dark. Then look at the wall and bring your attention back to halfway, in the gap between you and the wall. Watch the hovering in the middle. There you see it. It looks like fast-moving water, and sometimes it looks like dry rain, and at other times it seems soapy, as said. You may start to experience a fluttering sensation in your body. Sometimes in men, it is between your ankles, and often in the heart area with the women. Don't be concerned. It's a quickening of energy. The fluttering is the oscillation of the morph that you feel in your etheric. Sometimes you feel electric shocks at night when you're drowsy and just about to fall asleep. They're a bit dramatic, but you get used to them. Sometimes they come one after the next. My record is 147 in 5 hours, one every 2 minutes, more or less. Some are stronger, and they can twist you off the bed, but most are less dramatic. Some of the electric shocks go to other people and activate them. Everyone has to wake up in the end and come out of their stupor and watch what the goddess is now doing. I have predicted she will appear in the sky as apparitions, some of which will be 5,000 feet high. They stay in the sky for hours, even days perhaps. We've seen many of those so far. In the end, everyone will see them. People will find them very beautiful and very inspirational, though some folk might get a bit freaked out. It'll really depend on how much evil they have in their heart. In the end, the morph takes you to another world, one that truly is silent, because it isn't here. It is between the spaces of a reality, not in our reality. Imagine the space of a room being made up of oblong boxes that are hovering in midair, and those boxes give the impression of a 3D film that you have to wear those funny glasses to see. The boxes are hovering in midair between you and the distant wall. If you can get up and walk round the oblong boxes, you can walk out of this reality and disappear. That is where she will take people eventually, round the back of the holographic boxes. Now, this is not something that is decades away, in some remote future. It's very soon, a few months or a few years at the most, but not decades. Now, here's the trick. There's always some technique or other. The first act of silent power is detachment, seeing things in a less emotional or dramatic way, allowing people to be whatever they want to be, even if what they are is dangerous and ugly. The second part follows automatically. It is the ability to become a neutral force in life, not altering very much, not consuming very much, not talking so much, not being too insistent or fixed into a system or into a reality you have created for the ego's benefit. The idea is to be fluid and loose, an observer, not a talker. That is the way I speak of. The third part is about selflessness. So once you've done neutral for a bit, then you look to see how you will serve humanity, but not from the way you might have served humanity in the past, as part of the ego's aggrandizement, or as a business, but more humbly and more silently and more selflessly. It might be hard at first to understand that life at its most spiritual is not about you. It is never about you, it's always about others. If you talk in terms of I this and I that, it's all about the ego, isn't it? It's you preening yourself and discussing your needs or discussing your wonderfulness. But in the end, there is no you, only your higher self, and that seeks to love and connect and serve humanity, as it doesn't have any other way to go. You're very important, but only in the early stages. In the end, you grow to where you see you're completely unimportant. It matters not if you're here on earth or dead. It's irrelevant. Life is not about you. If you think it is about you, then you've not evolved very far as yet. It's all about others, and how you will silently and selflessly serve them. In doing that, you're not allowed to gouge them silly, like a plastic surgeon might. You serve at no cost, or at very little cost to others, and you serve until there's no one left to serve. It's very hard for people to understand this, but it is a fact that almost all power will be denied to you until you learn that you can't use it for your own benefit. It's only for others and the greater glory of God here on earth. You are irrelevant in the scheme of things. If you want silent power for yourself, you'll get a bit, but the real gravy will be denied to you. We discovered this in the morph. It wasn't a great surprise, as we always thought it to be the case, but it was confirmed to us. I would guess that better than 90% of all people can never reach the selflessness I speak of. They're too ingrained in feeding the ego and being important, or they want admiration and acceptance. They want to be seen as the great spiritual poobah on the mound. If you want that, you can have it, because it's not hard to con people to follow along with a little perception. But you'll never have real power, because the power protects itself. It doesn't need any more poobahs. God is tired of people pretending to be divine. And it doesn't need someone using the power to manipulate people. One of the functions of the goddess is to liberate us all from religion and shady healers and spiritual mishmash and set us free. She will come to destroy the ashram, not to raise it up. I reckon selflessness is a learned skill. I can't imagine people are born that way, though I might be wrong. It comes from a great discipline of the mind. You teach the mind not to desire itself, not to want for itself, not to see everything as an extension of its experiences, its daily life. Eventually you will rise to ask, how will I serve today? Instead of, what's for breakfast? Who will sustain me today? Who can I feed off today? Who will pay me? Who will notice and admire me today? And so forth. In the letting go, you get everything. But what you get, you can't keep. It's never yours, nor can you wield it either. If you do that, it may destroy you. All spiritual disciplines will only take you a little way, and then you may have noticed they peter out. It's once you know and accept that none of it is for you, and that it can't be used for money-making or self-importance, that you actually proceed. Most can't give away the self-importance and the sense of self. They desperately need it. Sad but true. So there you have it, silent power. When others talk, remain quiet. When they panic, stay calm. When they run, stand still. When they demand and want things, ask for nothing. When they eat, fast, and so on. It's always the act of going in the opposite direction that the collective mind will go. For the collective mind will burn itself out, rushing around. You stay still and conserve your energy and wait and watch. It all comes to you in the end if you're selfless, and you don't seek it or yearn for it, and if you can wait for as long as it takes. Bye now. This is Stuart Wilde.